wanted to read the whole passage today. You've heard those words, this is my body broken for you, many times. And that's the passage from which it comes. However, the whole context of that passage is very unflattering. It's very unflattering because, as you heard there, and there are really two reasons for that unflattering unflattering description of that early church in Corinth. The first is they had a total lack of table manners. They were totally oblivious to each other, and they just ate without thinking about anyone else. And the second thing there is that they had divisions among each other, among themselves, and they didn't reconcile those divisions before they came to eat. And in fact, there's a third one there that's even worse and even more serious. They didn't examine themselves personally before they came to the Holy Communion. And so we have these kind of themes running through this passage of almost what you'd call gluttony, of division, and the lack of self-examination of people coming to the communion and then making basically a riot of it. Now, we need to, I think, just to understand a little bit about what we mean by communion. And Robert, Mandy, can we have the first PowerPoint one, please? So in ancient times, the church combined two ideas, the Holy Communion and the agape meal, which I've just called there the potluck. So it's the ancient potluck. Right, what was our understanding of the Holy Communion, which is a holy time. It's a time of sober reflection and celebration of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But it's also the agape meal. And the agape meal was like a potluck. It's where everybody brought something and it was a kind of all-in meal, just like we have here at our own potlucks on Sunday evening. Can we have a second one? And the common word used for Eucharist, for communion, and many denominations and other Christians use this word, and we use this word, is Eucharist. Eucharist. And what we have here is the Eucharist. And that comes from two words. From the Greek word meaning well, E-U, well, and charis, which is grace. And we get the word charity from that, and the word grace comes from charis. So what it means is, the communion, our communion, what we're doing here is acknowledging that we are well-graced. We are well-graced. Not sure if that's actually good grammar, but we are well-graced. We are graced and blessed by Jesus Christ. We are invited to his table, and we are here to celebrate with him and his people. Next one. Now, there's actually four types of love in the Bible. Now, the problem in English and in Chinese too is that the word love is very trite. It's kind of can be a trite phrase. It can be everything from a very deep feeling of love for another person. But it also, you can also say, I love ice cream. And you can get the same, use the same word for the to describe your this affection. But in Greek, you can't, because you have to choose between one and four words for love. If it's ice cream, you like ice cream, you don't love ice cream. So ice cream's not included in these four words. Now, one is eros, and of course, we get erotic from that. That's the love between a man and a woman. And that is that kind of love in Greek. The second is philos, that's love between brothers and sisters, between people as friends. And Philadelphia comes from that, the love of the brotherhood, the love of brothers. Philadelphia, philos. The third is caritas, and that's the love where you give somebody something because they need it, and you give of yourself, and charity comes from this. And that's the love where you give because somebody needs. And agape is the love you give when somebody doesn't need, but you can't help yourself. Essentially, it means the love that just flows out of you because you love that person, that community. And it's that love, that word that God chooses, or Jesus, Paul chooses here to describe the love of God working through the church. And so what we've got today in our communion here is actually a combination of the potluck agape meal that they once had and the Holy Communion as we now have it. And the formal celebration, which is ordered and well arranged, and that's what Paul was telling them to do, so it's evolved into this ordered, well-arranged meal that we share together with a lot of people. We share together and we share in an ordered, well-run way. But the agape meal is kind of a little being lost. But that is the in-all-in celebratory feast that we have together. And that's where, so here in this passage, you've got the problem that they're well into the agape meal. However, what's lacking is what we would call today table manners. Now, we're talking at table at the Tea and Talk the other day, weren't we, John, about Western table manners and Chinese table manners. And John and I were reminiscing that we never talked at the table. You had to, and you certainly didn't talk with your mouth full, and you only said anything when you're asked. You kept your arms to yourself, never elbows on the table. All of those sort of things were very much part of our upbringing. And it was a quiet place to be. I remember going to the first meal with a Hakka family in Taiwan, in Miaoli. And there were no table manners whatsoever, if I can put it this way. I'm going to say it was a great thing. But you could reach across the table, you could talk with your mouth full, you could talk to the person right over the other side. There were four generations here. And you could get up and walk around. That was a no-no in my day. And the grandpa, who was actually the great-grandpa, he was the mayor of, I think he was kind of the mayor of the city. He was certainly CEO of a big business. And everybody listened to him in the town. But at his own table at a meal, he had to put his hand up when he wanted to say something because it was just so noisy and so vibrant. But that's the point. The thing about that table was it was a vibrant, joyous community feeling all together, and it didn't matter so much that you know, some of the niceties of what I and John had experienced growing up weren't there. And so that was what Paul was wanting, was that kind of joyous, celebratory family communion coming together and having a great time together. But what's happened is that this community have forgotten all about each other. And there's part of the reason for that is, if you look back into the history of it briefly, there is a class division. And part of it was that a lot of the Corinthian people were very, very wealthy and others were very poor. And so it's sort of like coming along to a potluck, and some would be bringing caviar and Peking duck and whatever else that sort of takes a lot of preparation and is very oyster and oyster rolls or something. And others would be bringing fish and chips and pikelets. And so you'd have this division, which would be actually visually represented in the food at the table. And so people were not willing to share. The upper class, if you put it that way, the nice food with the poorer people. And that's really what Paul was on about. We share what we have, and we bring and we share the food we have. And so what he's talking about here is we share together what we have. We don't worry about things like that. What we worry about is whether or not this is a joyous celebration of the family of God and Jesus Christ being together here today. And what happens, of course, is there's divisions in the community. And so one of the things here, and just a little point to make, is that what Paul says is that divisions aren't necessarily wrong. Differences of opinion are not necessarily wrong. What's wrong is how you handle them, if you make them a division. The question is, of course, people are going to have different ideas, and it's where you work them out and how you work them out. And some people are going to be wrong. And what he's saying here is to see which one has God's approval. And by that he's meaning, you know, we talk out our differences and we have to be prepared to change if we're shown to be wrong. Can we just next little slide? Those are table manners. Keep your elbows off the table, your hands above the table when eating. Indicate you've finished eating by laying your knife and fork parallel on your plate with the handles facing to the right. Table manners are continental. Hold the fork in the left hand and the knife in the right while eating. They, and this is a comes from a book for overseas tourists coming to New Zealand. They, Kiwis, will not look askance, however, if you adopt American table manners. What are American table manners? Fork in the right hand. So that's okay. Americans have some kind of table manners. Okay, so that's the kind of Western table manners, and that was the other scene, as I described, with the Chinese and the Hakka, who are minority Chinese folk, a group of people. Next one. Then that's to come back and summarize. Agape is the sheer, awesome, wondrous love of something or someone, and which expects and asks for nothing. And that is, agape love is where we come together, because that is God's awesome, wondrous, spectacular love for us, who's come to us, and all he asks is that you come. We come, and we come today. The last little point I just wanted to make, if you go back to Matthew 22, verse 14, you see that at the first communion, what was Jesus doing? Was he standing or sitting? Now, can we next the picture? I think we'll try the next one. I think we've got a picture there somewhere coming up of the most famous picture of the the most famous picture of the communion, of that first communion with his 12 disciples. Jesus is sort of standing, and they're all standing around him. However, when he teaches, he sits and everyone else stands. And that's exactly opposite to today, not at the communion. When he's teaching, he often sits and teaches. He sits in the boat on the Galilee, and everyone is standing listening to him. When you go to university, you all sit and the lecturer stands. But in those days, the teacher sat, and everyone else stood and listened. And that was the moment of teaching. And when the teacher you respected, sat down, you expected to be taught, and you stood. Exactly the opposite to lecturing today. However, this is wrong. Go ahead, next one. That's right. What's it say in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14? It says they reclined at the table. Jesus reclined at the table, and that's the point at which the Holy Communion takes place. Now, what does recline mean? It means that everybody is relaxed together. It's not a teaching thing quite so much, but people are relaxed together, and they come together in this awesome agape love of God, and they share together the meal that Jesus has invited them to. So as we come, yes, we come learning and listening and respectful to God. We come also, on the other hand, relaxed, and we come expecting God to touch us with his awesome, powerful, supreme love that is in his heart, and puts it into our hearts. And that is the agape love that flows out from us to others, if we let it do so. Amen. Cleansing us, we are clean spirit, and he has invited us, made us.